Thompson here, and here.
Ladies and gentlemen, good morning. On behalf of Fritz Fröhlich, the chairman of Randstad Supervisory Board, I'm pleased to welcome this meeting and to welcome you to this extraordinary meeting of Randstad Holding NV. So I'm Fritz Fröhlich, chairman of the Randstad Supervisory Board, and I'm testing my Dutch here because I don't speak Dutch all day. We appreciate your taking the time to participate in this extraordinary meeting. Well, yes, I've been speaking English for 3 weeks as well, so I haven't spoken Dutch in all this time. We greatly appreciate you taking the time to attend this extraordinary meeting, and I'm pleased to welcome everybody listening on the website to this meeting as well. I'm going to open with some general remarks. I'll be chairing this meeting in German-style Dutch. We have interpretation into English. If you would like to listen to the interpreter, please obtain a headset at the entrance to this room. We have microphones positioned on the table for board members as well as in the room. The hostesses will have microphones available, and this meeting will be recorded. Please switch off your mobile phones. I need to do that as well. The convening notice for this meeting was posted on Randstad's website on 5 December 2012. The complete agenda for this meeting and accompanying documents were made available free of charge and posted on the website as well. This meets the stipulations in the Randstad Articles of Association. The convening notice indicates that shareholders shall have the opportunity prior to this meeting to submit questions in writing to be discussed and answered at this meeting. Nobody took advantage of this opportunity. The convening notice also indicates that shareholders unable to attend the meeting may issue voting instructions to an independent third party, A&T Trust and Corporate Services in Amsterdam. At the table for board members to my right are four members of the executive board, Jacques van den Broek, Leo Lindelauf, Robert Jan van der Kraats, and Ben Notenboom. Next to my left are two members of the supervisory board, Leo van Dijk and Jaap Winter. The other members of the executive and supervisory boards are unable to attend this extraordinary meeting because of prior commitments. Registration for this meeting will close at 10:15, and after that, the list of attendance will be compiled, and I'll disclose how many voting rights are present and how many votes may be cast. For the record, please note that only shareholders are entitled to speak and vote at this meeting. In addition, in keeping with the Articles of Association, the minutes will be taken of what is said at this meeting, and I designate Jelle Miedema to serve as secretary of this meeting. The draft minutes for this meeting will be made available within 3 months and will be posted on the website as well. After that point, you'll have 3 minutes to respond to the draft minutes. Next, the chairman and secretary will adopt the minutes. At the registration desk, copies were available of the minutes from the meeting that took the annual meeting that took place on 29 March 2012. Voting will take place by using handsets this time. If the handsets are not operational, then we'll revert to the system of voting by acclamation used in the past, in which votes opposed and abstentions will be recorded. When you entered the room, you found handsets and received chip cards for voting when you registered a The registration desk instructions for voting will be provided by the secretary when we vote on the first item on the agenda. This meeting has been convened due to the intended issue of preference shares to boost Randstad's financial position. Agenda items 2, 3, and 4 relate to this. I'm pleased to give the floor to Robert Jan van de Kraats to elaborate on this intention. Of course, his presentation will be delivered in Dutch. The presentation on the overhead sheets will be in English because it will be featured simultaneously with the presentation on our English language website, because our foreign shareholders and other interested parties will be viewing this meeting on our website. Thank you. First, to introduce, I'll tell you about our financing policy, which we've maintained at Randstad for several years. What's important is that we aim to have a very solid balance sheet, and our solvency is based on the ratio between operational cash flow and net debt, as expressed in the leverage ratio. And we want to keep this between 0 and 2. That's our objective. Banks, according to the covenants, allow us to maintain a ratio of 3.5, but based on 2009, we saw that it's good to have a margin in case the operational cash flow drops. We won't run into risks, and that way we don't have to maintain excessively close contact with the bankers. And this also indicates that we're investment grade. The financing we have is organized. I'll show you a bit more about this later on. And you'll see that we've set up the financing for the next 4 to 5 years. The financing that Randstad has is intended to support both organic growth and acquisitions. The financing we presently have is what we've had since 2008 when we acquired Vedior. That was arranged in advance. That was a good thing because after that we headed into 2009 and we still have something left of that. At the time it was 2.8 billion, but now it's down to 1.6. We've paid off some additional capacity and impaired some additional capacity because we didn't need that. This is because of the season in the second quarter. We need a bit more. Okay, that 1.6 million will mature in May 2013. And before we acquired SFN in 2011, we already started financing some of this in advance. And that's what you see at the next to the last bullet point. That was the long-term asset we purchased at the time, and we wanted to have long-term financing to offset that. The remaining term from the financing in 2008 was, in fact, too short to give us that long-term window. That's why at the time we started the refinancing. On the market, it was fairly easy for us to raise $1.3 billion at roughly the same conditions at the existing financing, which means that we pay approximately 1% interest, and that really suits us very nicely. And we have a policy of taking floating interest rates, and that gives us the best hedge against operational results. And if the economy is doing well, we earn a bit more, and if the economy is in a downturn, then we earn a bit less, but that benefits Randstad's cash flow. So we did well in 2011 with that $1.3 billion, but it depended on how much cash the firm generated. Well, the years since 2008 have not all been very profitable, so we've decided we need to refinance back up to $1.8 billion, and as you see, we've arranged the majority of that. This basically corresponds with an extension of the existing syndicated loan facility, so we're quite pleased with that. As for the financing mix, we have adjusted that a bit because when we refinanced, we took a look at the volatility on the markets and in our performance, and it's bigger than we thought it used to be. In 2008, we were talking with banks about a worst-case scenario, and we said, well, minus 10 for 1 year, and then another year, and then perhaps yet another year. Everybody thought that was a doom scenario. And then we headed into 2009, and it turned out to be minus 27. So we know that we have to make additional provisions. And when we refinanced, we encountered the possibility or likely interest in preference shares on the part of shareholders. And in the past, in the 1990s, we issued about 165 million euros. And we said, well, on the one hand, we want liquidity. On the other hand, it would help our solvency. If we reduced our leverage ratio, if we arranged part of our refinancing in preference shares. So we established very rigid conditions and set up a grid and said, this is what we're going to do on the market, and if we succeed, that's what we'll do. Otherwise, we won't. Well, we managed to raise 140 million euros that way. And we have some committed lines in various countries that amount to approximately 300 million euros. We have our forward start, so the commitments from the banks to issue financing from May to the tune of more than 1.4 billion, and that will run mostly for 5 years, in some cases for 4 years. And we're now a major operator in Japan, and some Japanese banks have said we're in two to the tune of about 75 million, roughly the same conditions as the syndicated loan facility. And we have some other credit facilities that we're working on, amounting to approximately 200 million. And all of this extends for about 5 years. And then we have a medium-term note program that we're planning for the future. The question is how much we want this to be. It depends on trends in financial markets. But clearly, we might need to reduce our dependency on bank programs. So far, that has suited us best because it's flexible and inexpensive, but we don't know whether we'll be able to obtain that in 4 or 5 years in the same way as we have now. So we need to establish a track record, and that's what we want to use a medium-term note program for. That way, within the Eurozone, we can issue products such as bonds for various terms. We want to gain some experience there so that eventually when the upper end matures, we'll be able to replace most of that on the public markets. And then, of course, there are the preference shares. I've always said this is fully committed long-term capital. We have no obligation whatsoever to repurchase that. That decision is entirely up to us. And that's why, in my view, this is at a fixed rate for an indefinite period. Now, back to Randstad's old preference shares that Randstad has had since 1998, and because we were working on that, we got a view of the appetite of shareholders for new preference shares, but we had to reset the dividend yield, and every 7 years, a new percentage compensation for preference shares is reviewed. It's total share capital is 165 million euros. There are 25.2 million issued shares, and the value was reset to reflect the economic value. The dividend yield is based on 6 to 7 years of Dutch government bonds. Every 7 years it's reset. The most recent one was last November, so the next one will be in November 2019, and at that point we have the option to repurchase the shares if we want. And the other important thing is that the dividend paid is not tax deductible for us, but is also fiscally free for investors. And the yield that we paid over the past 7 years was 4.32% based on a spread of 105. And the new one we negotiated equals 2.69% with a spread of 175. Now, why is this at the upper end? It's clear that there are major risks on the market. If you look at the benchmarks that you would pay for a bond, that's what you'd wind up with. So there were few arguments in favor of approaching the upper end of the spread. Fortunately, the underlying interest rate was lower, so on balance, we ended up with 2.7%. The new preference C shares, once again, fully committed capital on our balance sheet. This is featured as equity, amount to 140 million, so 50 million shares, two series Randstad Beheer, and then the rest for other investors. The reason we split this up is because Randstad Beheer has a position of slightly over 30%, and a public offer is triggered when you exceed that threshold, and we want to ensure that the Randstad Beheer position is not impacted by this issue, and that's why we're presenting this two series, so that the interest of Randstad Beheer will remain nominally the same. There are 5.6 million voting rights in line with capital contribution. The value of the contribution converts to 3.8 of total voting rights. The dividend yield is based once again on 7 years of Dutch government bonds, this time with a spread of 50 to 650 base points. A lot of water has run under the bridge since 1998. So this is the 2012 effect. The markets have really changed, and we benchmarked this on the market a few years ago. There was a preference share issue. We looked at that as well, and that's how we came up with this. It's reset every 7 years in November, and that's convenient because then we cover both of them at once. And once again, this is not tax deductible, but it is tax free. And there's an additional option annually after the fifth year. We have the option of redeeming 20% of those shares. Once again, we can repurchase all of them at the reset date, but annually we can repurchase 20%. The yield stands at 5.8%, which is a spread of 4.75 base points. And if you combine preference shares B and C, then the average yield is 4.1%, and that's worthwhile for investors, and it's a worthwhile equity component for Randstad. And here are the numbers, and you've received all these documents in advance. At the bottom, you see the breakdown between C1s and C2s as well. That was my explanation about preference shares. Thank you, Robert John. I propose that following this presentation, we take your questions now about the issue of preference shares, and after that, we vote on the related agenda items 2 and 3. This meeting is being recorded on tape. Please state your name clearly and use the microphones made available by the hostesses here. Are there any questions? Who would like the floor?
Dank u wel, meneer de voorzitter. Mijn naam is Zwarte. Ik spreek hier namens de VEB, de Vereniging.
I'm Mr. Zwarte, and I'm speaking on behalf of the VEB, the Association of Stockholders. Thank you very much for your explanation, Mr. van der Kraats. It helps understand what we're talking about here, but more is going on. If I consider not only since the most recent shareholders meeting, but also the third quarter figures that we have here, I see a series of measures to, and I see boosting equity as part of this. You've announced, although you won't be discussing the adjustment of the dividend policy, which means that shareholders won't be receiving as much for the time being. I also see some changes in the executive board. Apparently, more is going on. And Mr. Notenboom always says, I don't have a crystal ball. I'm not going to make any predictions. I look at the figures, and then I see what needs to be done. And my question to Mr. Notenboom is, can you tell me how you feel about those numbers and in what context we should place this series of measures? Well, we also indicated that in Q4 we would make a provision for reorganizations on some markets, of course. That's no surprise. If we see that the French market is down 10%, that's disclosed at the end of each period. So I'm not revealing any secrets. The Netherlands has also been affected, and unemployment is rising in many countries. And so many markets, including our job market, has experienced some pressure in volumes, and that means we need to take action. And we've always taken pride in being fairly conservative. And we always do things and run the company so that we can continue running it rather than the banks. And that's how you should see these measures. We don't expect the world to collapse, but we can't say for sure. At roadshows, we're often asked, what do you expect to happen? And I always say, don't expect me to predict what decisions politicians will take when. So the answer is complicated, but we need to manage our shop wisely. And it's better to be overly cautious than to have excessive exposure. And these measures will, for example, increase our option to raise the leverage ratio should any world calamities take place. So, I mean, you can never tell what may happen. And then we're better prepared for serious adversity. And we don't want to suggest that that's what we expect, but we're trying to be prudent. Any other questions? Who would like the floor? Then I'm going to announce the presence after counting the votes. According to the list of attendance, we have a total of 49 shareholders present, 165,873,038 votes represented at this meeting, some by proxy, including 25,200,000 preference B shares, entitled to cast a total of 144,273,038 votes, which adds up to 82.13% of the total votes that may be cast, of which 3,600,000 through preference B shares. 82.13% represented here, says Mr. Froelich. Now on to agenda item 2, which is the proposal to amend Randstad Holding N.V.'s Articles of Association. Okay, Mr. Notenboom, hold your horses. We'll get there. The proposal to amend Randstad Holding N.V.'s Articles of Association to enable the issue of preference C shares. Following up on the draft proposal made available to you, there is a small obvious correction in Article 28.1(b)(8) at the end of the article. There should be a reference to 1B3 and B4, although the reference now indicates only 1B4. Can you understand, or do we have to tell you exactly what that means? I think you explained that clearly from Mr. Miedema. Are there any specific questions about this item? If not, then I note that there are no additional questions, and I propose that we open the vote, and would Mr. Miedema please walk us through that? Thank you very much. If you haven't done so yet, please insert your chip card in the voting handset with the upper end of the card facing you. You'll see your name appearing on the display, and if you don't see that, please raise your hand and one of our hostesses will assist you. You may keep the chip cards for voting inserted in the handset throughout the meeting. Would the voting operator please switch on the system? You see various options. If you are in favor of the proposal, please select one. If you oppose the proposal, please select two. And if you wish to abstain from the vote, please select three. If you do not make a selection, then your vote will be considered not to have been cast and will not be counted. After a few seconds, I'll close the vote, and then the outcome of the vote will be projected on the overhead. Now, on to voting on agenda item 2, the proposal to amend the Articles of Association. Please cast your vote by making a selection. One is to vote in favor of the amendment. Two is to vote against the proposed amendment, and three is to abstain. The vote is now open. Please cast your vote.
Is this stemming?
The vote is closed, and we'll see the results on the overhead, and you have seen that The proposal has been carried with 99.15% of the votes in favor. Thank you very much, Yella. The proposal has been adopted. Now on to agenda item 3, which is the proposal to grant the Executive Board the authority to issue preference C shares. It is proposed that, subject to the approval of the Supervisory Board, the Executive Board be authorized to issue preference C shares, as explained by Robert-Jan van der Graats, and placed on the agenda to this meeting. Are there any questions? If not, then wait a minute. We do have a question. Once again, Mr. Zwarte, on behalf of the VEB, I have several questions about this. You indicated that $140 million is committed on the sheet. I saw that the preference share issue will be less than $200 million in the text of a press release. I read that you were still trying to obtain more than $140 million. Are we granting permission for $140 million or for $200 million? That's my first question. My second question, Mr. Chairman, concerns the actual instrument. At this point, the interest rate is 5.8%. If I consider the dividend yield from recent years, that's always been considerably below 5.8%. Why didn't we simply issue shares? Well, your first point is the answer is $140 million. That's what you're authorizing. But in the original grid that I referred to with the conditions, I said, well, we're not interested in anything below $100 million or above $200 million. So that's how we set the amount at $140 million. We checked whether we could add anything. But I think that the conditions were fairly economical for us, which means that there was no additional interest. So we thought that this yield would be sufficient. In addition, structuring is important. At what level do you get a 5% interest? You can accommodate that in all kinds of ways, but that doesn't simplify things. So we set all kinds of conditions, and I think that was another reason for many parties to come on board. The other point is, how do you get that 5.8%? I tried to explain that earlier. It was based on a negotiating process following some benchmarks. So this is market-defined. We could have issued ordinary shares, but we believe that in the long run, this product will serve us well and will reduce the cost of capital, and that's why we selected this one. You're talking about previous years. I can understand that. But those have been very, very difficult years for Randstad, not only for Randstad, but for the world as a whole. Those were years with little growth. In 2011, things did start to pick up, but that changed in 2012. And since the summer of 2008, we saw some shrinkage. It started at minus one, and about a year later, it was minus 30, and that was really fast. And I hope that's not indicative of what lies ahead in the future. Are there any additional questions? I know that Mr. Notenboom doesn't like making predictions, but should I conclude based on this expectation that, in your view, based on the current share price of €29, shareholders can expect a higher dividend yield than 5.8%? Because did you say a share price of €39? No, I said a share price of €29. Well, I heard you wrong, says Mr. Notenboom. We have many experienced analysts that track us. We're very fortunate, and we have an extended track record. So all I can do is look at that to see that we do have a reasonable return, and practically we've already mentioned that we'll propose the dividend ideas that we have for the previous years, and in that context, the yield is pretty respectable if the shareholders approve this. Of course, that's not our call. Any additional questions? If not, then I find that there are no more questions, and I propose we open the vote. Yellen. Yes, we're going to vote in the same manner as the previous agenda item. Press 1 to vote in favor of authorizing the executive board to issue preference C shares. 2 is to vote against the proposal, and 3 will mean that you're abstaining from the vote. I'm now opening vote. Please cast your vote.
Dan is nu de stemming gesloten en...
The vote is closed, and you'll see the results projected on the overhead. You see that 98.2% of the votes have been cast in favor, and the proposal has thus been adopted. The executive board has been authorized to issue preference C shares. That takes us to agenda item 4, which is the proposal to authorize the executive board to repurchase ordinary shares. This item will be explained by Richard von der Graaf. May I have the appropriate sheet, Yella? Have you got it? It was there. Okay. Perfect. Now, I'll elaborate on this briefly. This is about professionalizing our playing field. We have a performance share plan, and these are shares that are allocated for retention by relevant players in Randstad conditionally and may be earned over the course of 3 years. And that requires being present and a certain performance on the part of the firm measured in relative total shareholder return. That means that we've issued shares periodically, which has averaged 0.3% of ordinary shares. That's been dilution. And in the future, we want to give the firm the opportunity to offset this dilution. And that's what this proposal addresses. The performance shares, as it reads here, are available to senior management. We've been authorized to issue shares up to 3% of the ordinary share capital. That's very high with respect to the 0.3% dilution we've seen in recent years. And that's a fairly theoretical threshold because things could accumulate in a certain year and performance could be stellar so that we reach the top of the scale and then you might come close to 3%. Of course, that's extremely unlikely, but it's basically possible. That's why you see the 3% indicated there. That leads to dilution. We have included an anti-dilution clause in the preference shares we just mentioned. So what we're trying to accomplish now is to have the opportunity to compensate the issue of performance shares by repurchasing shares. Conceivably, we might repurchase the shares first before issuing them to our people. So we've set thresholds. Suppose it's up to 25 million, then we'd have to do that in any case. And if we exceed that, we'll need to consider the firm's leverage ratio. That's the proposal. On the next sheet, you'll see an example, Yella, which is the 2010 plan when 500,000 shares were granted conditionally if total shareholder return performance equals 100%, then 500,000 shares would be allocated. And on 14 February 2013, we expect to allocate 519,000 shares, which would equal 0.3% dilution to be repurchased during the open period in February. And, of course, our plans after that point, it's a bit uncertain how much that will amount to if you consider the conditional allocation, which for 2011 was also limited, but it could rise after that 2012. In 2012, the conditional allocation was larger, and then we could increase that amount as well. We're requesting a mandate for 18 months from the date of this extraordinary general shareholders meeting. Any questions? Mr. Swart. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. That was clear. With respect to flexibility and the ratios you're using, are you increasing your flexibility? Is it an option to repurchase or an obligation to repurchase? That's my first question. My second question, I can't escape this. Take a look at the dividend policy where you'll be introducing stock dividends at Randstad. You plan to repurchase that and offer the option to issue the dividend partially in stock. Is there any relation between the instruments, or would you like to operate them entirely separately? Well, I started my introduction about professionalizing the playing field. The executive and supervisory boards would like to build in this option. You asked whether this is an option or an obligation of the firm. Well, I tried to explain that up to $25 million will be doing this, and above that amount, it depends on the balance sheet of Randstad. You also related this to the stock dividend, which we need to talk about later on, and this relates entirely to being able to prevent dilution. Any other questions? If not, Jelle, let's open the vote. Yes, please cast your vote by pressing the appropriate button. Vote. Press 1 to vote in favor, press 2 to vote against the proposal, and press 3 to abstain. I now open the vote.
And is the...
The vote is now closed, and you'll see the outcome on the overhead, and you can see the proposal has been carried with 99.16% of the vote. I determine that you have authorized the executive board to repurchase ordinary shares. That takes us to agenda item 5, which is the proposal to appoint Mr. Bérel to the executive board. François Bérel was born on 10 September 1970 in France. He obtained a bachelor at the University of Lille. The bachelor is in distribution management and commercialization techniques. In 1999, he joined Vedior as regional manager, and following various promotions, he became CEO of Vedior France in May 2007. Following the acquisition by Randstad, François Bérel was appointed president and CEO of the new combination Randstad Group France, and figured prominently in integrating the operations. We're delighted that after having appointed Linda Galipo from our own ranks, we're delighted to appoint another professional with an excellent track record in our firm. The supervisory board proposes appointing François Bérel for an initial 4-year term. Within the executive board, he'll be responsible for France, Spain, Portugal, Brazil, Argentina, Chile, and Uruguay. The overhead, you'll see a list of the distribution within the executive board. I'm not going to read it all out, but we have Mr. Notebaum, chairman of the board and CEO, and also in charge of legal affairs, HR, marketing, public affairs, and innovation, and deputy CEO Robert John Thomas-Kratz, and then Leo Lindelof, responsible for Randstad Tempo team in the Netherlands, Scandinavia, Greece. How much have you got in Greece? $30 million. How much was it 5 years ago? 10. Oh, well, we're on the right track then. And then we have Mr. Van den Broek, responsible for UK, Middle East, Belgium, Luxembourg. We believe in a regional breakdown because our business is regional and legislation varies in all the different countries. The system works for us. Then we have Linda, who's not with us today, our lady in the United States. A few weeks ago, we saw how she's doing excellent work in Boston, USA, Canada, Mexico, and professionals. And then Mr. Bérel will cover the countries I just mentioned. We've had an advisory board for about 2 years now. comprising a very important group of people in our organization. They participate and provide input, and this is an excellent system, and it benefits our leadership. In appointing Mr. Bérel to the executive board, the most important elements of the executive agreement correspond with the remuneration policy for the members of the executive board and also comply with the Dutch Corporate Governance Code. You'll find these in the agenda for this meeting. François Bérel is with us today. François, would you please stand up so people can see you? That's Mr. Bérel. Are there any questions? Who would like the floor? Mr. Chairman, once again, I'm Mr. Zwart. I have three questions. The first is, you're starting at the end, which is the appointment of Mr. Bérel. But in the meantime, of course, Mr. Wilkinson, I can say it in an unpleasant way, he's simply been ushered out the back door. But last March, you asked us for permission to reappoint Mr. Wilkinson for a four-year term, and illustrated this with excellent figures. How should I feel about his sudden departure 6 months later? Is this appointment proposal simply an automatic measure without any scrutiny, or did things happen in this past 6 months that necessitated replacement? My second question is about your explanation concerning the proposal for appointment. In the second paragraph, there's a phrase that I could not understand. It reads that the third item, fourth line from the bottom, annual allocation of shares and options, in which the target value of each will equal 40% of the base salary. I don't understand each. It's the breakdown, 40% options and 40% shares. So it's an and. Well, I'm sure you understand that we intend to revise this. And my third question, Mr. Chairman, Mr. Bérel is CEO of France. Will he be replaced in that capacity, or will he remain CEO of France? Well, he'll remain CEO for a transition period, but he will eventually be replaced when he joins the executive board responsible for these countries. And he'll be responsible for the Dutch governance in this committee. And the question about Mr. Wilkinson, it's true that we did issue him a four-year contract, but performance figures had been agreed, but he didn't meet those performance targets, and things didn't look good. So we simply decided to bid him farewell, and there was a one-year transition period. So the contract was 4 years, but the payment was 1 year. Well, that gives me some insight into the speed of Randstad. So at the start of the year, you agreed on performance figures, and in the middle of the year, it turned out that he would not achieve those, even though he'd been serving on the board for several years. And then you said, that's it. No, we had a long-term agreement. It was a very difficult situation, and things looked better when we extended the contract. We wanted to give him a chance, and he was from Bedur, and one of his co-workers left. And at that point, we said we should give the man a chance. But then we reconsidered that, to tell you very honestly here. And yes, it was a four-year contract, but we'll be paying him 1 year as a severance arrangement. I understand that, Mr. Chairman. What I was concerned about was the continuity. You proposed that we appoint him, and at that point you already had doubts, but you did reach an agreement, and these things can happen. Of course, it's better if you act quickly than if you would postpone things. Well, that was our conclusion, and we talked about it. We talked about it for a long time, but sometimes life takes unexpected turns. Any other questions? If not, we'll proceed with the vote. Option one is to vote in favor of appointing Mr. Bérel. Option two is to vote against the appointment, and option three is to abstain. The vote is now open. Please cast your vote.
En sluit ik de stemming en ziet u op.
The vote is closed, and you'll see the outcome projected on the screen. and 99.96% has voted in favor of appointing Mr. Beres. Congratulations, François. So I determine that the proposal has been adopted, and I'm pleased to welcome François Beres as member of the Executive Board for a four-year term. That takes us to item six. Any other business? Who would like the floor? Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. I have one question, and I'd like to take something in advance to page 119 of the previous annual report where we mentioned assessment and impairment testing. We've seen the figures for Q3, and crunching the numbers indicates that what you're writing about impairment testing on pages 118 and 119 does not bode well for what you would need to do at the end of 2012. At least that's how we see it. You mentioned some sensitivity analyses in which a drop in revenue of 1% will already affect the impairment, and that is linear, and we've seen the figures, but if we look specifically, then the decline in France, which is now a very difficult country, you say that you have sufficient headroom for your projections, but if I look at the decline that accelerates over the course of the year, then we wonder whether we might be on the verge of a serious impairment. I understand that that's a non-cash item, so that damage might not be so serious for your really important figures, but nonetheless, that indicates what a critical juncture the European branch of Randstad is at present. Yes, I think that's a good introduction. We are experiencing these considerations. We're wrapping up 2012 right now, and in February we'll disclose our conclusions to you. I think that's the current plan, and I can't really tell you anymore, but what's important is that Randstad's solvency is measured as the ratio between cash flows and debt, so not the ratio on the balance sheet of borrowings to equity. Well, sometimes financial journalists don't assess these criteria properly, but if you tell me that I delivered a good introduction, I understand that my figures were not far off the mark. All I said was that these analyses are still in progress, and now I'm going to take a step ahead. We're going to talk about the dividend policy at 27 March on the shareholders' meeting. I don't want to say a lot about this, but as shareholders, we're not doing as well as we were. And my remark is that, in my view, concerning the variable remuneration of the management, we expect this to be reflected as well. If the shareholders are not doing as well, I believe that the boards should be party to that as well, and I include the supervisory board in this. Well, supervisory board members only have fixed remuneration. It's not flexible. I understand that, Mr. Chairman, but last year we increased the remuneration for the supervisory board considerably, and I did express some criticism. I've still got that in the back of my mind. Any additional remarks for any other business? If not, that takes me to agenda item 7. I'm closing this meeting. Thank you all for coming and for contributing, and I'm pleased to invite you to join us for a cup of coffee and a light sandwich outside this room. Thank you very much, and see you next time.